Today's Shir Masech Bava Basra Daf Tzadik Dal. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Hamach Peres L'Chaveri, if somebody sells fruit to someone else, Harezah Mekabel of the seller is supposed to expect Roiva Tanoifis Chol Saw, that for every saw sold, there's a Roiva Kav of impurities, and if there will be that level of impurity, the person who's buying it has no right, the person has no right to comply. So the Rif says, the Ramban, quoting the Rif and the Rambam both say that this halacha that we're learning in the Mishnah, as we often stated in Mishnais that we've been learning in our Perek and our Masechta, is only in a place where there is no Minig Medina. But in a place where there is a firm Minig HaMedina, we always follow the Minig HaMedina. And as the Rabbeinu Haigoin says, the Ramban said, that this Minig, this amount that's being stated in our Mishnah, is reflecting what was common in the time of Chazal, the Mishnais, in the place where the Mishnais were written. But it doesn't in any way obligate that should be the halacha everywhere. So again, the minig in that place was roiva hakav of tenoifis of impurity for every saw. Tainim, if dates were sold, the kabbal of esmetalos lameya, that for every 100 dates that were sold, there's an expectation that 10 will be wormy. Mat of shalyayin, if somebody sold a whole wine cellar, mekabel olav eser koisus lameya, there's an expectation that there will be 10 barrels of wine that will be inferior. Kankanim, if somebody bought empty barrels b'sharon, sharon is the name of a place, mekabel olav eser pitisos, that they accept 10 barrels that are irregular and will not be able to last as long as barrels normally do last. Lameya, for every 100 barrels that are sold, there's an expectation that there will be that many barrels that are not in good shape. Says the Gemara Tana, Rav Katina learned the Braisa, which explains what we just learned in the Mishnah. Tana, Rav Katina taught us Roiva, that when a buyer is sent, buys a kit, Roiva Kitnis Lasa, when somebody buys beans, there's an expectation that for every saw that there will be, there's going to be a Roiva of, for every saw of wheat that's bought, there's going to be a Roiva Kav of beans mixed in. Ask the Gemara. So it seems that the impurity that we're speaking about is beans. Ask them of a furious loy. Is there no concern about earth being mixed in? Vamar Rabba Bachia, Kutusfa, Rabba Bachia from the city of Kutusfa, the said in the name of Rabba. Boyritzra Migroinoi Shalchaveroi. If somebody removed a pebble, impurities of earth, of a pebble from somebody's grain that was supposed to be sold, nice and light. So even though what I picked out was pebbles, was earth, was junk, I have to pay demei chitim, because if I had not taken that out, so when the seller were to say sell tvua, he would sell it as if this was pure grain, because there's an expectation that there's going to be impurity mixed in. So we see that it's not just beans that are at a certain proportion allowed to expect it to be in the middle of the grain, but even impurities like pebbles are in over there. Why? So the pshat is, the Rashbam explains, because the person who picked out a pebble cannot now put back that pebble. That would be completely dishonest. And the Torah says, Leisa Sa'ovel. The buyer doesn't want to get less than the saw that was promised to him. He's expected, he accepts, as we've been learning and will continue learning, that there's going to be impurity. So therefore, it's considered that the person who took out the pebble did hezek, did damage to the person who was trying to sell that tefuah. So according to that explanation of the Rashbam, and many Rishonim agree with that explanation, it's considered a real situation of mazik, which we've learned and will continue learning. When somebody's a mazik, here he's obligated to pay for the damage that he did. There are others that explain that this is not to be considered a regular case of mazik. It's going to be considered a case of garmi. And garmi, we also learned most opinions hold that yechayiv. However, there is another opinion that I saw in the Rishonim, and their opinion is that this is a case, that this is considered a concept that we find often in Shas, that Dovah Gorim Lamamon is considered like Mamon. If you cause somebody damage, it's considered like, even though it wasn't direct, it's considered as if you did damage. I did see that we know that this question of Dovah Gorim Lamamon Kamamon Dami is a question throughout Shas. Is it considered Kamamon or not? And I saw that the Rishonim want to suggest that even according to the opinions that Dovah Gorim Lamamon is not considered Mamon, here it will be considered Mamon. Because they explain, where is there a question of Dovah Gorim Lamamon Kamamon Dami or not, is when it's not owed directly to one individual person. But in a case where it's owed directly to one person, everybody will agree, and here it's directly owed to the seller who had a serious loss, that everybody will be considered a Dovah Gorim Lamamon Kamamon Dami. So we see over here, there's an expectation of impurities, pebbles, earth, not just kidneys. Answers the Gemara, yes. There are going to be all types of impurities. But as we begin the shiur today, the discussion here is at what level of impurity. Kidneys, there's an expectation that the buyer has to accept a roiva, kav, fairy saw. A ferruris, this type of earth, pebbles, pachmi roiva, you have to accept less than a roiva. So explains the Rashbam that the Gemara says that there's a difference between kidneys, that you have to be ready to accept the roiva kav, and everything else you're supposed to accept by the impurities of earth, pebbles, less than a roiva. Says the Rashbam, what does less than a roiva mean? A drop less than a roiva. As soon as it's a drop less than a roiva, that is accepted to be impurity. And I saw that the other Rishonim point out, you know, between a roiva and less than a roiva, just a drop less than a roiva, is a very insignificant amount. But the Rishonim point out that that's the way all matters of halacha work. When we speak about shiurim, shiurim are always very exact. For example, the famous halacha is that a mikveh has to be made up of 40 saw of kosher water. What happens if you have a drop less than 40 saw? So one can make an argument, it's such an insignificant difference. But we know that that's not the way halacha looks at it. When there's a shiur stated in halacha, the halacha is always, the shiur is always very exact. Ask the Gemara. So now you're saying that the only level of afruris, of earth, pebbles, that is accepted is less than a roiva. Ask the Gemara of afruris roiva loy. Is the halacha that when you have a roiva of afruris, it's not acceptable? But Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, if somebody sells fruit to someone else, chitin, if chitin was sold, the kabbalov roiva kitnas lasal. The expectation is that he's going to get a roiva kitnas lasal. And I saw that the Rishonim explained that even though when we're speaking about chitin, there's an acceptance of a roiva of kitnias, it doesn't mean that other things, if kitnias is mixed in, it would be a problem. The Mishnah is using that as an example. But by other things, also kitnias may have that shear that it's acceptable. So, siarim, if barley was sold, the kabbal of roiva shall neshavis lasaw. You accept a roiva of straw for every saw. Adoshim, if lentils were sold, the kabbal of roiva furus lasaw. That you take a roiva for saw. And from here we see that it says the Gemara, my laugh, who are dilchitim lasayrim. So the Gemara is saying that it seems that the way to understand that brisa is to teach us that by every one of the types of produce that's being sold, this is the accepted shear. So we see that a roiva of a fruris is the accepted shear for chitin, not like we just said that it has to be pachs meroiva. Says the Gemara, no. Shani adashim, when we speak about lentils, the mikri akrelay. The way lentils are picked is that they're pulled out of the ground. And since they're pulled out of the ground, there's going to be more earth mixed in than other types of produce that are picked. Therefore, only by adashim is a roiva of a fruris acceptable, not anywhere else. So what we're saying, so the Gemara is saying, el tam dadoshim, only by lentils, for as we just explained, the miakri okalahu, since they're uprooted from the ground, that's why it is we accept our fruris. Av chitisari, but chitisarium that are not pulled out of the ground, they're cut, loy, then this amount would not be acceptable, says the Gemara. Tefshimenei, so we could now say chiti v'sari the furus lemakabel. So we get back to what we said, that it seems from here that by barley and by grain, there's no acceptance for a furus because the way they're cut. Says the Gemara, loylam, the halach could be chiti v'sari makabel afruris. And that's the way to understand the brisa. Adoshim atzuchalei. But if that's the case, What's the brisa teaching us? Given that the way lentils are picked is that they're pulled out of the ground, so since they're pulled out of the ground, we would think that the shear of a furis is yoisa maroiva, namila kabel, that's also acceptable, kamash mulan, that by everything, the shear is a roiva. Amar vanuna, imbo, if the buyer suspected that there's more than a roiva of impurities. So what he does is he comes lenapois to start sifting and seeing what is or isn't the situation. Menapas kula, and he sifts out the entire amount, and the halacha is he indeed finds there's more than a roiva. So now the question is, if there would be a roiva or less, so as our Mishnah and Gemara have been teaching us, that's something that the buyer is supposed to accept. Here, where he discovered there's more, then he has to pay for the entire amount. And suggests the Gemara, Amalei Dina, some say that what we just said is the halacha, that's the halacha based on din, and some say it's a knas. It's a special fine that was instituted. So the Rishonim debate, Rishonim explain, what's the difference if it's a din or a knas? So I saw a number of nafkaminas. One nafkamina is, as the Gemara often states, that ein donin dinei knasos bevovel. In chutzlarts, give out knas, fines. So if it's a din, it applies everywhere in the world. If it's a knas, it can't be given in chutzlarts. Another pshat that I saw is that moed b'knas is potter. If somebody before Bezdin issues a psak that he has to pay the knas, says that this is a knas, admits that he did it and he's chayv a knas, then he's absolved. By Maida Bikdin, if the halacha requires you to pay, there's no such a concept that you admitted and that you'll be off the hook. A third nafkamina is that if it's a din, so even if the person who's obligated to pay the money passes away, his children have the chiyuv to continue. If it's a knas, the knas doesn't pass on, the chiyuv knas does not pass on to the children. However, says the Rashbam, that as we just learned, if the buyer sifted and discovered there's more than the proper shear, then he has to pay the seller has to pay the entire amount. However, says the Rashbam, that if the seller could prove that he is not responsible for the high content of foreign manner, then the buyer is not entitled to any refund or exchange. Because we assume that the buyer is Michael, he's willing to accept any impurities that happen to get mixed into the grain, as long as they weren't deliberately mixed in. The Ran disagrees, and he says that a buyer does not willingly accept impurities exceeding the standard percentage. So even if the seller is able to prove that he did not deliberately mix in any impurities, he has to pay for any impurities that are past the shear. However, even the Ran agrees that there's going to be a nafkamina. Because as the Gemara just said, if there are impurities, so it becomes the seller's responsibility to pay back to the buyer. But as the Gemara just said, not only must he pay back the buyer, but he has to pay back the buyer not just for the amount that's above what's acceptable, but for everything. But that's only when the seller mixed in these impurities deliberately. But if it just happened not because of his fault, then he would only have to pay for the amount that's above the standard acceptable. Says the Tshuvas HaRashba, the halacha that we just learned here is also regarded, can be applied regarding a Sefer Torah. He says there's a number of mistakes to be expected in a new Sefer Torah, and therefore a buyer who finds the usual number of mistakes cannot demand a refund. He can't say it's a mekach tos. However, if an unusually high number of mistakes are found, then we have to unfortunately assume that the sefer was negligent in writing the Sefer Torah properly, and he's penalized, similar to the person in our Gemara who sold grain and mixed in impurities. Says the Rashba that the sefer, if there's a higher amount of mistakes found in the Sefer Torah, so not only must he must fix all of the mistakes found in the Sefer Torah, not just the amount that's above what is acceptable. Why? Back to our Gemara, just like in our Gemara, where if there's a higher amount of impurities, then the Gemara says, Rav Huna just taught us that you have to pay for all the impurities. Here too, you're going to have to pay for all, he's going to have to fix all the mistakes. So again, the Gemara brought down two versions. If there's a higher level of impurities, then the seller is responsible for them all. And we said there are two versions, either is that a din or a knas. Says the Gemara, Amrilei, Dina, the opinion that holds it's a din, explains as follows. Mandiyav Zuzi, somebody who pays, a perish shepe yavav. He paid to have good fruit, no impurities. V'roivalei tarach inchi. However, a person doesn't bother to sift out this small amount of impurities. And therefore, we consider it that he's meichel. However, when there's an amount above the accepted, yois m'roiva, tarach inish. That already is too much for the buyer to accept. And now he's going to sift out all the impurities. And says the Gemara, kim the tarach. Once he's sifting out all the impurities, tarach bekulei. He's not meichel anything. He's going to take them all out, and it becomes the seller's responsibility to reimburse him for it all. Vamri like knasa, but others say that the way to look at this is it's a knas. Roiv shchiach, to have a roiv of impurities, is common. Yoiser, but more than a roiv, lo shchiach, is not common. Vihud arv, so we see a higher level of impurities, it's an indication that there's more than that the seller deliberately mixed in these impurities. The king of the Arif, So since he did something so improper by mixing in these impurities, that's why Kanas Rabbanan Bekulei, the Rabbanan say you're going to have to reimburse for all of the impurities. Simen Kol Trei Shtari Deravin by Rav Nachman Einova Kabel Nusa. So the Gemara asks that, the Gemara says, according to the opinion that it's a din, Meisrei, the Mishnah Masech, the Klai, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, teaches us, Kol Saw Sheesh by Roiva Menacher. If you have a saw of one type of seed that's mixed into it a different type of grain, that means you have, for example, a saw chitin that's mixed into it a Roiva Kaf Sairim. So, Yamat, what you have to do, that you have to make sure that it should be less than a roiva. That the halacha is that you have, that you're not allowed to plant klayim. But if you'll have less than a roiva, then you have no problem of klayim. The Rishonim point out, the Rambam says this, that even though normally the halacha is em vatl misl chatchila, here there's a different types of solution. Because if you have too much soirim mixed into the chitim, and it's hard for you to pull out the soirim, what you should do is add chitim. And if you add chitim, now you'll have the proper proportion, proper percentages, and then you can plant it. And it's not considered emevatl misl chatchila, because here, they explain, it's not really a sale, and it's really only usur because of Marisayin. And because it's only also because of Marisayin, that's why it's not considered a situation of Emevatl Issa Emevatl Chatchila. As I saw, the Migdash Tovet explains, even if you have more than a roiva, it's really not noticeable that you have more than a roiva. And since it's really not noticeable that you have these other things mixed in, it's not usur, and there's no problem of aim of atlas chila. So says the Gemara, Savrua, when this Mishnah was taught, the roiva, the klayim, when we speak about a roiva by klayim, it's the same as if you have yois maroiva the hacha. There's like you have more than a roiva regarding in a sale, the katani, and what we see in that Mishnah is yamat. All you need to do is bring it down to the right amount. But if the man, if Rav Huna is saying that if there's more than the right amount, then the whole sale is off, why is that acceptable? Says Marloi, Roiv the Klaim, Kerov the Achidami. The two halachas travel together. And since the two halachas travel together, just like over here, it's just like by Mecca Chamamkar, only more than a Roiva is a problem. Here too, only more than a roiva is a problem, but if it's a roiva, then it's acceptable. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the way we're learning, amai over there, does the Mishnah say Yamat? The way we're learning in our Mishnah, in our Gemara, is that when you have a roiva, it's perfectly acceptable. And says the Gemara, Mishum Chumra the Klaim. Because Klaim is an Issa deraisa, so that's why we're more Machmer. The Yad Rama explains that here we're dealing with Issa Deraisa of Klayim. And if we're going to be lenient when you have exactly a roiva, people may come to be lenient. And if they're being lenient, they'll be lenient even by more than a roiva. And there we're dealing with Issa Deraisa. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if the entire reason that the Mishnah over there says this halacha is only because of Chumra the Klayim, continues the Mishnah, Eim Sefer, let's learn the Mishnah further. Rav Yosheimer, Yover, pick it out. It's not enough to make sure you have the proper proportion. Yam Bishlama, if we'll say that when by Roiv of Klayim is to be treated like a Yosemi Roiv of Tanoifus Dami, more than a Roiv of impurity. So now we can understand the machloikis in that Mishnah. B'ha'kemifki. This is the basis of that machloikis. Tanakamasov, the Tanakama's opinion is, loikan sin ha'tera at the surah. We don't have to remove the pachs meroiva because of the roiva. and all we need to do is just bring it to the proper proportion. Rabbi Yosef Savar, Kansinin, we're very machmer. Eli Amrit Karoiv Adami, if we're saying that the Roiv by Klaim is Loiv by Mecha Chamemker, so it's not so terrible, so why would Rabbi Yosef hold that Yover, you have to pick out all of the impure, all of the other men? Answers the Gemara, there is a new consideration. The reason Rabbi Yossi is machm over there is mishum the mechzik mekayim klayim. There it looks like somebody is interested in keeping klayim. And therefore, since it looks like somebody is interested in keeping klayim, we have to be extremely machmer. Because as the Rishonim point out, that the halach is that a mekayim klayim, if somebody keeps klayim, is loika, gets malchus. So we see that we're very machmer. So ask the Ritva, why didn't the Gemara suggest a different way of explaining the machloikus of Rabbi Yossi in the Tanna Kamma? We'll explain that the machloikus of Rabbi Yossi in the Tanna Kamma is what is the shear. That according to Rabbi Yossi, the shear is a roiva, and according to the Tanna Kamma, it's more than a roiva. So answers the Ritva that it's difficult to say that that's the machloikus. And he goes back to something that we explained as we began our shir. As we began our shir, and we spoke about these different percentages, the basic explanation for all of these percentages was because it's based on what is common and what is not common. So what the Ritva says is, if we're going to say that the machloikus is the sheer arriva or more than arriva, that means they would be arguing over what is common or not. They would be arguing over a metzias. And as we often find in Shas, the Gemara is reluctant to accept that there should be a machloikus over a metzias. And since the Gemara is reluctant to explain that we have a machloikus over a metzias, that's why the Gemara had to come up with a different explanation. Says the Gemara, Toshma. So the Gemara wants to bring again a raya. Is it a din or a knas? Toshma. Shnaim shefkidu etzel echad. Two people left money by a third party. Zem money with zem money. Each one left, zem money, one left $100. Zem asayim and one left $200. And now they're coming to pick up what they left there. Zem and asayim shali. And now they both, this one says that the 200 was mine, the Zayim Masayim Shali, and this one says the 200 was me. So says the Mishnah, Baba Metziah, Daf Lamed Zayinam and Aleph, Naisel Zayman and Zayman, each one will get $100, because each one of them is certainly deserving of $100. Vashar Yemunach Atshiyav Eliyo. Vashar Yemunach Atshiyav Eliyo, we leave it until Bezdin. This is Machlaikus, what does that mean? One shot is that this person who's been holding on to the money keeps on holding on to it. Another pshat is that it's left by Bezdin. Why, asks the Rishonim, that is the halacha, that we just treat this, as we often discuss, that this should be considered mamon hamutl safek, mamon on which there's question, and yachloiku, and that third hundred should therefore be divided, because there's two answers. Rashi says that since one of these people is certainly lying, so he doesn't deserve to benefit for lying. The Taisus explains that we only say Yachloiku in a case that by dividing it, what we're doing is exactly what really happened. Here we know that Yachloiku is not an app, is not one getting 150 is certainly not true. And therefore, the halacha is, so now the question here, now we don't make a knas here and say that the person who lied should get nothing. So we see that Chazal didn't make a knas. Why in our Gemara do they make a knas? Answers the Gemara, the two cases are not comparable. Hosom. Hachi hashta. Hasan vadi mani lamar. Each one of them deserves the $100 that they are receiving. Even the person who's lying left $100. So therefore, he deserves to get it back. Hacha, but in the case of the impurities, miyem delav kule orav arav. Once we see, says the Gemara, that there's a higher level or percentage of impurity, so then we have to be concerned that the person deliberately mixed everything in here, and therefore he deserves to be punished for an entire amount. So I saw that the Achrayim ask, the Gemara often says that when we have this kind of question, Yemurchat Shev Eliyahu. And the question is, what will Eliyahu help? Eliyahu Anovi is a Novi, but the halachas of the Torah will of course remain even after Eliyahu Anovi comes, Mashiach comes. And if we can't attain clarity, Bizman Azeh, so what will Eliyahu help? So I saw the Rabbi Yaakov Yosef in Ostra, the Talmud Yaakov Yosef explains, that the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Idya says, She'en Eliyahu Abo L'tame L'tahar L'rach L'karv L'rach K'mekurov B'zroya L'karv M'rchoik B'zroya. First it says, he asked, that the Mishnah says, the purpose of Eliyahu's Novi's coming is not to make anybody kosher, to say this person is a fine Yichus, a not fine Yichus. And then the Mishnah says that he will do so. So he says that we know that the word emes, the letter Aleph Mem Tov, are the entire alabase. Aleph is the first letter, Mem is the middle letter, Tov is the last letter. Sheker has its letters are all one after another, Kuf, Resh, Shin. What does that mean? That Eliyahu is not going to change what the halach is. But in the world of Eliyahu Anavi, in the world of Eliyahu Anavi, there's going to be a world of emes. In a world of emes, the person who is lying, then the person that's lying will start saying the truth, and like that we'll get to the truth. Another pshat that I saw is that even though Eliyahu Anavi is going to say his halacha based on nevuah, and we don't use nevuah as a method to paskin a shaila, even though we don't use nevuah as a method to paskin a shaila, it is the equivalent of an eid echad. And since he's the equivalent of an eid echad, the halacha is that an eid echad is mechayev a shvuah, and we know that people who are liars typically are reluctant to swear. And once the person who's lying will be reluctant to swear, that's we'll know who the emes is. Toshma Misefa. So the Gemara again wants to prove this question from the Sefer. Amar Rabbi Yossi, we learned that Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, the Mishnah Masechta Bava Metzia. Rabbi Yossi said, if we're going to give each one $100, so then Imkei Mahefsad Aramai, the person who lied had nothing to lose. Therefore, he says, Hakol Yemunach Atshev Eliyahu. So what do we see? That we do make a knas. So it's a raya that everything here is about knas. Says the Gemara again. Hachi hashd, it's not really comparable. Hossam, by these two people that are both saying that they are the one that left out $200, Hossam, vade ikramai, there's certainly somebody who lied. Hacha, here, there might have been a higher percentage of impurities, not because somebody deliberately mixed them in. Hacha miyem daruve arav, and therefore the two cases are not the same. Toshma, so the Gemara ties to bring another raya. Shtar shesh beribis. If there's a star that says that this person borrowed from another person money and he has to pay him extra, he has to pay him interest. We penalize the malva. He's not entitled to get not karen on the ribis. Diver emeya. So we say from here that even though the person did lend the money and he is entitled to get back the principal, the halacha is he doesn't get back anything. So it's a raya that when somebody does the wrong thing, we penalize him on everything. So of course the Rishonim asked the question, as we learned in Masechta Bava Metzia, the avera of ribis, the avera of interest, is not only on the malva, it's on the loiva as well. So here, the Gemara is saying that we penalize the malva. Why don't we penalize the loiva? So the Ri explains that when do Chazal make knosses? When do Chazal introduce fines? In a situation where somebody was supposed to profit from his Aveira. Where somebody was supposed to profit from his Aveira, Chazal introduced a Knas. The Loiva wasn't going to benefit from this Aveira. So even though he did an Aveira, the Aloch is, it doesn't get penalized. The Shaila Meshiv says a very interesting pshat. He says, by nullifying the shtar, what do we accomplish? That the malva won't collect the interest or anything, and the loiva will have not have done an aveira. So there's no aveira if he ends up not having a shtar with ribbis in it, and therefore there's no reason that he should be penalized. Because what it turns out from here is that the loiva is, even though the loiva is over an aveira of ribbis, even though there's a loiva is over the aveira ribbis, he only is over that aveira at the time that he pays. Here he's not going to end up paying, and therefore the halacha is that there's no reason to penalize him. So we see that it's a knas. Says the Hachi Hashta. There's no comparison between those two sorrows. Hashem Sam Shask Siva, at the time that this shtar was written, Hudavale Shoma, an Aveira was done, and therefore the Malva deserves to be punished. Hacha, but in this case, we aren't certain that the Aveira was done, and therefore he doesn't necessarily deserve to be punished. So says the Gemara, Toshmava Chseifa, V'chamayim, Govis Akarim, V'ena Govis Aribis. So we see that it isn't a Knas, because were it a Knas, he should be penalized for everything. Says the Gemara, on the other side, Haki Hashta, the two cases are not comparable. Hasan Va'an the Karen the Teru, as we just said, the Karen, the principle that was lent, was done very legitimately. And therefore, he deserves maybe to get, the Chum say, he deserves to get back his Karen. Hacha, but in our Gemara, Miyem the Kula Layar Varuva, we have to be maybe concerned that this person deliberately mixed in all of the impurities into this Tvua. And therefore, he is much more deserving of a knas than the person over there.